This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube here in our final 45 minutes as we are steamrolling towards Knicks and Wizards tonight on the Team 980. Starting next week, again, we will, I probably won't do it for the opener. Actually, no, Anthony, we have to for the opener. On Wizards game days, we have to have Dave. We have a lot of stuff. Gotcha. That's the only thing. Next Thursday, we have an absolute metric ton of interviews and stuff that we're going to be doing for the Wizards opener. So we're going to have to be really diligent with our time if we want to also get Dave in. But we have to get Dave in. Like, it's a requirement. So
imperative. Yep.
Yeah. So we're going to have to figure that out. As for right now, it is just after 6 o'clock. It is a Friday, and that means it is time to do this.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, Anthony, let's do it. It is time for our Pick Six. And I need to get the document ready. Okay. All right. Let's do it. It's time for Pick Six. And I think it's your turn to go first this week. I believe I did have the first pick last week. If not, I'm going to let you go first anyway. So off you go. We pick six players who we think are going to have the biggest impact in the game on Sunday. Anthony, who you got number one?
Number one
is Brian Robinson for me. I think it was a no-brainer.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I think last week we saw that we lacked. There was a lack of physicality, I guess, just running the ball in general. Also, I think you and Logan pointed out Austin Ekeler didn't necessarily do all that good job of, you know, finding the holes. And I think that's just something that Brian Robinson does well, being able to, like, navigate tight spaces and also just, you know, drag tacklers with them. I think establishing the run early and often, or just being able to run and be effective on run downs, is going to start with Brian Robinson. So I think if we want to have some success, sustain some drives, I think it's definitely going to start with B-Rob.
No, I think he is the easiest path to victory for them on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, the easiest thing they can do is just turn around, hand the ball to him 15, 17 times. You know, coming back from the injury, if they can limit it to that, maybe not 20, 25. You know, let's get McNichols going a little bit. Obviously, mm-hmm. Eckler's going to have his touches too. But if B-Rob can go out there and average 5-6 yards a carry, then, like, they're going to be just fine because everything else will just fall into place. And your play action game gets going. Obviously, you have to sell out to stop that. Then Jaden can get his running game going after an off week for that last week. Your RPO game gets going. Just everything opens up if B-Rob can hit those carries. Because last week, you're 100% right. Austin Ekeler, I guess we were 100% right, mostly Logan, but I noticed it on tape too. I know what I'm watching. Austin Ekeler at times would just hit the wrong track, and you're like, bro, it's blocked perfectly if you just run where the play is designed. Why did you cut back? Like, what are you? That's not his specialty. His specialty is to be out in space and kind of be a more reactive type player and dip inside small crevices and then run out of ankle tackles as DBs try to chase him. Like, get him back involved in that stuff. Let B-Rob do the running backy type of stuff as much as possible. Get that going early, and I think that is the easiest path to victory because, like we talked about earlier, that then if it turns into touchdowns, which, by the way, also help in the red zone with B-Rob, the way that Carolina wants to play offensively, they can't play if they're chasing the game. They want to run the football as well, you run the football effectively and score touchdowns, they're going to have to pass it. Your pass rush gets better. It's a whole big trickle-down effect. So I think you're right. It's a no-brainer. Brian Robinson, number one. Nothing else more to add here.
Number two,
I'm going to go with, and this is not exactly a bold take considering how good this guy is, but I'm going to go with Frankie Louvu. The reason I'm going to go Frankie Louvu is he is a bigger John Allen replacement than people realize. And especially with Javonte Jean-Baptiste also out, they need to generate a pass rush somewhere, somehow. And their stud they want to feed is Frankie Louvu. That's almost a verbatim quote from Joe Witt Jr. The other day. He talked about, I want to get Frankie one-on-one matchups. And he's like, I don't want to compare the players, but from a usage standpoint, the way we used Micah in Dallas is the way we want to use Frankie. We want to get him on there, you know, where we think we can get him the best one-on-one, and we want him to go win. But I also think that they're going to have to switch up some of the fronts that they play. And this is getting a little nerdy, a little technical, but I think having him on the edge more and playing more Big Phil, Johnny Newton, Jerron Payne together is on the table. Or getting two of those guys plus a Sheldon Day or whoever they call up this weekend available and letting some speed on the edge in the form of Frankie on one edge and then Dante Fowler or Jamin Davis on the other. Like, that's not a bad way to play if you don't have John Allen and you don't have some of your other edge guys, because Dorrance Armstrong is also out in this game. So with Armstrong out, with JJ B out, with John Allen out for the rest of the year, you need someone to make a play and you need a pass rush. And I think Frankie Louvu is the most obvious number one candidate. And yeah, always you need your stars to play well, but until they get Dorrance Armstrong back at the very least, they kind of need Frankie Louvu to play out of his mind. He's got the captain C on his chest this weekend. It's against his former team. So, Frankie Louvu, go have yourself a day, sir.
I think that's a hell of a pick. I think also getting Jordan McGee back helps free up Frankie Louvu.
That is definitely true.
Go run wild. All right, number three.
Run wild, young man.
Number three, I'm going to go with Daron Payne. And part of the reason I'm going with Daron Payne is, yes, John Allen's out. He's the other defensive tackle that has made his presence felt over the last couple of years. But this season, Craig, he has half a sack, he has two quarterback hits, and he has zero tackles for loss. For this guy to be getting paid that much money, he has to go out there and produce, especially with the loss of John Allen. And coming off a game where last week against the Ravens, he had a zero stat game. I'm expecting big things from Daron Payne. I expect this to be a bounce back game. And hopefully, you know, he can go out there, lead by example, and show the young guys in the locker room, all right, this is what we got to do if we want to be successful.
You would think that with stats that non-existent, I'm not even going to use the word bad, non-existent, that his PFF grade would be poop and that his coordinator would be very upset with how he's playing. Neither are true.
Nope.
And so he is clearly doing a lot of things right, but I tend to fall on your side of the scale here, where if a dude's getting paid that much money, I need, yes, if you were just a god at taking on double teams and all of a sudden Bobby Wagner was leading the NFL in tackles solely because you were so good in front of him, that would be one thing. But you need production. Like, we need plays made behind the line of scrimmage. And this defense very much needs that. They need those pass rush situations. And so I think that ensuring that you find not just matchups for Louvu, like I talked about, but get some for Payne, get that pass rush going against what is a very good, specifically interior of the Panthers offensive line. Like, let's get Daron on the edge and see what he can do against some of these tackles. So I think that there's going to be some opportunities here. He's a huge part of their run defense. And so, yeah, I think Daron is a fantastic pick. All right. The back half of our pick six, got some decisions to make. I'm not sure who number four is going to be yet.
Ooh.
So I'm going to decide in the break. I will let all of you know next, but first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports, presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are in the middle of our pick six, where we pick six players we think will be key for the Commanders, or key parts of the Commanders-Panthers game in this particular instance. We'll review how that all went on Monday's show at 6 o'clock. First off the board was Brian Robinson from Anthony. I took Frankie Louvu, and then Anthony went Daron Payne. And I'm actually going to go, I'm going to use our new feature this year, Anthony, for the next player.
Number four.
This year we decided we could highlight players on the other team as well. The only rule here is no quarterback. So no Andy Dalton, although I have fun Andy Dalton stats that perhaps I can warp into this. And no Jaden Daniels, obviously, because they are always the most important player, and that kind of takes the fun out of it. We also spend so much time talking about quarterbacks all week long, and they inevitably will come up in this conversation. But I'm going to go Diontae Johnson, who is probably the best player currently on the Carolina Panthers that is healthy. Obviously, Derrick Brown is an all-pro caliber defensive tackle, but he is done for the year and has been since week one. I don't even know who the next guy up is. Maybe Chuba Hubbard, who Anthony may or may not talk about. I know you're still making up your mind. But Diontae Johnson, their wide receiver, is legit. He was in Pittsburgh, went to Carolina, is a legit, really good receiver, fantastic route runner. He's got explosiveness. You know, Joe Witt Jr. kind of lit up talking about him. He was like, man, I didn't know about this kid. This kid's really good. You know, he was in Pittsburgh when I was in Dallas. I've never come across him. I watched the tape. I was like, holy crap, this guy's awesome. So big old number five. Is real good, and he can line up anywhere. So, you know, Carolina can, to an extent, pick their matchup here. He lines up mostly outside, but does have double-digit snaps in the slot most games this season, according to how PFF organizes it, which they're pretty good on that alignment stuff. So, whether he's on St. Juice's side, whether he's on St. Russell's side, whether he's got Noah Igbinoghene, he is the kind of guy that can give all of those guys problems. Now, he is not Ja'Marr Chase. He is not CeeDee Lamb. He is not Justin Jefferson. I don't even know that he's like Mike Evans, but he's real good. And so you do, like, he's the guy that is scariest. And if Washington's going to have problems with this Carolina offense and explosive plays, it's either going to be in the run game, and that's just how it kind of goes, and their offensive line is good and their running back is good, or it's going to be Diontae Johnson. And my fun Andy Dalton stat, if you haven't heard it yet this week between the radio show and Take Command, is Andy Dalton has the highest completion percentage in the NFL against man coverage. Obviously, in a lot of those situations, he's trying to find his best guy, because that's what you do in man-to-man. Diontae Johnson's their best guy. And I could pick a Commander's corner, but he's going to line up over all of them. So I'd rather just pick the guy who I'm most concerned about. Diontae Johnson is him.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick. Dude is phenomenal, man. It's one of the underrated receivers in the league, for sure.
And a potential Commander's train target. Ooh, just saying.
It ain't so.
I mean, why wouldn't he be?
Yeah.
Number five.
Number five. I think, Craig, you were right. I'm going to go with Chuba Hubbard. I just feel as though if the Carolina Panthers are going to have a chance to actually be in the game, win the game, it's going to come at the expense of running behind Chuba Hubbard. And we've seen what running can do. Like, you can win time of possession. You can control the clock, control the tempo of the game. And I think if he has a big day, if he goes out there and runs wild, I think we can be in danger. And he's going up against a run defense that, you know, hasn't been all that good all season long. So, you know, ruling out a big game from Chuba Hubbard seems a little crazy, considering how we've performed over the, you know, first couple of games.
Yeah, I think so, Doctor. By the way, Diontae Johnson, final year of his contract.
Ooh.
I would give up a sixth-round pick for him as soon as you can, like Tuesday. Yeah, assuming they win this weekend and things still look good and Jaden still looks like he's top five quarterback in the league. Okay, yeah, no, Chuba Hubbard's great. He's been good for a long time, despite the very terrible quarterback play in Carolina. He is a powerful runner. He's hard to bring down. He's decisive. And that offensive line in front of him is really, really good. They spent money at the guard position because they were going to try to build a fortress in front of Bryce Young. They decided, actually, we just need to bench Bryce Young, and that will solve some of our problems. But obviously, the play-action game gets going and some of those shots down the field, and they have been able to generate some like big open spaces off some play-action stuff where Dalton reads it out pretty well. So I think if they can shut down Hubbard, then I think that they like this game could get ugly.
Yeah,
in Washington's favor. So I would probably sell out to just try to stop it. while playing a ton of zone behind it. Like I would be bringing a ton of zone pressures, simulated pressures, things like that. I don't want to get caught in man-to-man situations against Carolina, where they make it easy for Dalton to just pick his matchup. I want to try to make him read out a defense. I want to try to confuse this offensive line. So I would probably play a fair amount of zone. But you can do that with, because of the way the Commanders play with some of the heavier nickel personnel with Percy Butler and Jeremy Chinn and Quan Martin on the field at the same time. You can do that and play some funky fronts and still kind of have your bases covered on all fronts. But ultimately, I'm going heavy boxes. I'm trying to get them to check out a run plays and get into some passing stuff and see what I can do. And then I'm committing hard to the run. And if they get me on one or two play actions, okay. But you're not averaging 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
And they did. I know it's crazy because they definitely did not do a good job against Baltimore, but they did a better job against Baltimore than everyone else had done last week, giving up only 4.8. But against Carolina, that number needs to be sub 4.
Yeah.
Like, you need to, relatively to what Carolina's been doing, everybody else, have the same performance, better than everyone else is doing. You probably give up a couple, but, like, that's how they kill you this coming weekend. All right, last but not least.
Number 6.
I'm going to go with Quan Martin, and I'm going to go Quan Martin with a bold prediction, Anthony. Joe Witt Jr. is furious at the lack of interceptions that his team has. I think Quan Martin gets one this weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
Andy Dalton will give you a couple, and I think that Quan has been in position for one or two. He's had a couple hit him in the chest. I think the ball, you got to be opportunistic in the way that Sanders still was last week against Lamar to get their first, but I think that a guy like Xavier Leggett, like, runs his route. Let's just say this. His routes will polish over time. They're not polished. And I think a guy like Quan can read some stuff, and Dalton will give some chances, and he can go up and get a football. So I'm going Quan Martin. Like, obviously, I think the other part of this is Quan's coming off an injury. Like, he finally, or he was in the non-contact shirt for a lot of the week. So this could look very silly if all of a sudden he doesn't play, but I don't think that's on the table right now. I think he's expected to play. But he's been so physical this year. Does a shoulder injury, like getting down there in the box and making tackles, is he not able to do that stuff? Because if so, well, now we got other issues in the run game and, you know, the screen game and some of the areas that he's been a sure tackler for this team, where you have guys getting out and making plays on the run who are good after the catch. But so one, how does he play? Is he physical? Does he look like Quan Martin? And two, I'm going bold prediction. I think the Commanders get an interception, maybe even two this weekend, and I think one of them is going Quan Martin. Why do I have that prediction? I don't know, Anthony. I host a sports talk radio show. This time doesn't fill itself. And you want to know what? This is one of those predictions. It's kind of like my Terry Pop pass first play of the game. If it comes true, we get to be like, oh, Craig Stradamus. And if not, then we just pretend it never happened.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
If the Commanders get two picks this weekend, here, I'm going to make you make two predictions. Who gets them?
Quan. And I think game's going to be out of hand. Emmanuel Forrest will play.
Oh, wow. You're really pulling it out. I'm going to go full villain with the week that I've had. St. Juice gets a pick. What now?
Okay.
And not one that's thrown to him. He, like, really picks one off.
Wow.
Cover two, just goes, undercuts it.
Okay.
Maybe even a man-to-man. Hits you with the, it up.
Let me go and write this down real quick. Look, bold prediction.
People are going to remember.
Quan?
Yep, type that in. All right, when we get back, real things, real people said into real microphones. Oh, yeah, weekend's almost here for your boys. I mean, it's almost here for everybody, but it's specifically for your boys right now. As we wrap up the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, yeah, it is time to tell everybody all the housekeeping of the things going on this weekend. It is time to remind everybody what our favorite parts of the show were, and then it is time to pick the Commanders-Panthers game, and then if we have time left after that, a Real Things Real People Said into Real Microphones, Friday edition. Anthony, actually, let's get the pick out of the way first so we don't forget. Commanders, Panthers. Commanders are favored by 9.5 now.
Oh, that's it?
Oh, my God. That's got to be the biggest. Someone get J.P. Finley on the phone. I know he knows this off the top of his head. What's the most the Commanders have been favored by in the last 10 years? This has to be it.
Probably.
definitely got to be
favorite?
In the top five.
Yeah.
Like, what's the biggest line? Have they been double-digit favorites? Because the way this thing's moving, this was 8.5, I think, on Monday. Like, this could be 10 by kickoff.
That's insane.
Yeah. Are you taking Washington, or are you going to, quote-unquote, save the graphic?
I'm taking Washington. Come on, man.
Yeah, so am I.
No-brainer.
Sometimes when there's games like this, I have a lot of trepidation. And maybe I'll wake up Sunday morning and feel awful and be like, uh-oh, something bad is about to happen. Mm. But to be honest, bro, like, I really don't have a lot of trepidation about this one. I have more confidence in Washington's week-in, week-out consistency than I've ever had covering this team. And Carolina is, again, offensively, like, I actually respect them. And I respect what they're trying to do defensively. The problem is, defensively, they stink. Like, they're just not good. They don't have the talent. Like, it is a multi-year process. Oh, by the way, now's a good time to correct something I did in the 4 o'clock hour. Their GM, Dan Morgan, it's his first year, not his second. Scott Fitterer was their GM last year. So they got a first-year GM, a first-year head coach. Like, that's what they look like is what a rebuild's supposed to look like, except for the part where they've screwed up the quarterback situation. But really, like, Canales and Morgan should have a chance to pick another quarterback if they're not going to try to salvage Bryce Young. So, like, I don't even really hold that part against them. And, you know, I hold it against the owner that we didn't even get into. You know, hey, you want to know what bad ownership does to a franchise? May I present to you Carolina Panthers. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina for a Panthers football game. That's really their fight song. Bet you didn't know that.
I did not know that, but you were singing it very passionately, Craig.
I grew up singing that song.
Oh, okay,
I grew up
that's
singing
fair.
That song. That's and David Tepper has ruined the franchise of my childhood. Now, I don't consider myself like a Panthers fan anymore. My fandom of most things has died out as my career has gone on, because I'm a professional and that's just kind of necessary part of the job. But it's also been really easy not to keep any fandom secretly deep down inside of me because David Tepper's ruined the team. For my friends and family down there, like, I would like good things to happen for that franchise, and I would like the ownership to be far more competent and good than it is. But as for Sunday, like, they don't have a pass rush. They're not particularly good at stopping the run. J.C. Horn, like, everyone wants Washington to trade for him. Like, you can get touchdowns on his head. Like, he's not a bad player. It's just, like, he'll give up some. And he's the best they got by, I won't say a lot, but, like, he's the best they got. So, yeah, I'm going to say Washington, like, 30-21.
30-21. Oh,
I mean, the
man.
Line's 9.5. That's still not even a cover at this point.
Yeah. If I had to put a score on it, I would go 31-13. That's what I'm going. 31-13.
Wow. Okay, so you're going big old cover.
Yeah, I'm going spanking.
Yeah, I'm still a little concerned about this defense and how they put it together. But also, like, honestly, Washington probably busts a couple of big ones, and there might be some quick drives, which gives Carolina more opportunities. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I all in all, like, game flow-wise, I don't think this is going to be an uncomfortable game for Washington. Not into the late third quarter. Like, I don't know that Jaden's sitting in the way that he did against Cleveland, but, like, I also don't know that he doesn't finish, or that Marcus Mariota doesn't play a few series at the end either.
Yeah.
Like, it could be that. But we'll see. It's the NFL. Any week, any Sunday, never know what is going to happen. All right, what was your favorite part of the show today?
Favorite part of the show, Evan Washburn, he was talking about Jaden Daniels, and he basically said, like, this guy doesn't feel like a rookie. And I was just like, you ain't lying, brother, man. Like, he is in the MVP sort of kind of discussion. He's won Rookie of the Week 5 times, even though maybe one shouldn't have been one. But he's
good job voting, Commanders fans.
He's quarterbacking like one of the best in the league already. So I think the fact that, you know, he's getting this national recognition from people like Evan Washburn, I think speaks to what he's actually done this year.
Evan's a real straightforward guy, and he wouldn't come on here and say that if he didn't believe it. You know, he'd find a nice way to say, like, yeah, no, he's still a rookie, whatever. Like, he'd give you one of those.
Yeah.
So the fact that he was just like, this dude is not a rookie. And I thought it was also a great thing to point out, you know, he didn't make it just about Jaden, how some of these other rookies as well that have played a ton of college ball. Remember, this is a kind of unique time for rookies, because you're at the last of these guys that have got the COVID years and that stayed forever in college. Yep. You know, Daniels had 55 starts, was in college for 5 years, faced adversity, all that kind of stuff. So it's not just like, oh, I feel this way. Like, I feel this way, and here's the evidence as to why. And so I thought Evan was really great on that. And also, the line of the show is from him, one, making fun of having some fun with the fact that we threatened to hang up on him for Charles Davis.
Yeah.
But also, the line of the show, hey, night and day wouldn't be being overly dramatic in terms of how different the building is this year compared to last. So Evan was at 5 o'clock. Definitely worth checking out this weekend. Also, don't forget, Take Command, full preview if you want that as you're driving around, getting ready for the game on Sunday. Logan and I breaking everything down, and then we'll do a post-game show live from Northwest Stadium on YouTube at the Team 980. Probably be around 8 o'clock is my guess, depending on when the game is. About an hour after the final whistle typically is when I get done in the locker room and all the press conferences, and we go from there. So check us out on YouTube. If you subscribe, then it'll let you know when we go live. And then, of course, it'll be in the podcast feed after. All right, Anthony, do we have time for a real thing? And do we have any real things?
We do not have time. Well, actually, no, we do have time.
Then hit the button.
Hold on.
Hold on, he says.
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right, what's in the folder today, Anthony? You're driving on a Friday.
All right, so we have two things, but I think we're only going to have time to play one. Temptations were at the Mets versus Dodgers game, and they sang My Girl before the game.
Okay, let's go.
Ooh. Hey.
What can make me feel this way? My girl, my girl, my girl.
Man, that baritone.
Ooh.
So what's the story behind that? I'm sure there is one. Chris Russell's like dialing his phone furiously to try to tell us right now.
I don't know the story behind it. It's just, I think they just sang ahead of the game today. It's just, I don't know. I'm a big fan of The Temptations. Love the movie. I actually played alongside. So do you know who David Ruffin is? He was one of the members of The Temptations before he got kicked out. Okay. But I played on the basketball team of his grandson, which is crazy. His name is David Ruffin. His name is David Ruffin as well. And I made the joke. I was like, are you related to David Ruffin? He was like, yeah, that's my granddad. Like, he said it so nonchalantly.
Well, I mean, it's been his granddad his whole life. This was news to you, not him, Anthony.
You're right.
Well, that's crazy. That's cool.
I know, man.
That's good stuff. All right. Yeah. Well, Anthony wanted to play that so he could tell the David Ruffin story.
Yes.
Okay. Tonight, WNBA Finals, Game 4. If you want a full preview, I did one at Hoffman W Sports earlier today. Anthony, I did predict that we're going to get a Game 5. Do we get a Game 5?
Yes, we do.
All right, that would mean the Lynx win tonight. That game's at 8 o'clock. Have a great weekend, everybody. See ya for Take Command post-game after Commanders-Panthers.